This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 73 of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by Index Fund Advisors, IFA.com. Horsemanship Radio is part of the family of the Horse Radio Network. And today we have two iconic people of the horse industry. One happens to be a woman trainer at the racetrack, and the other, Todd Bergen, is a superior reiner. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. Thank you for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 1st and the 15th of the month, and I have producer Jen with me today. Hi, Jen.
Hello. It's lovely to be back with you again, Debbie.
I am so glad to be sitting with you again. How was your trip, Wild Wild West trip?
The Wild Wild West trip was wild in all of the appropriate places.
I am sure you've been sharing on all the other shows that you're involved with, but give us a little taste, too.
Well, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version.
Thank you.
Good. Glenn and I went out to Colorado for 10 days. Mm-hmm. Flew into Denver, and it was a lovely, boring flight, and we got the exit row seat, so we had leg room,
which is good.
The best part of the flight.
Yeah.
And we went to WESA, the Western English Sales Association conference, for one day. And that is the Western version of the ADA show that we go to twice a year for the past 8 years or so. And this is the first time Glenn has gone out to the WESA show. And this is primarily Western versus the one in the East Coast is primarily English. Mm-hmm. And we wandered about there and saw all sorts of really shiny belt buckles and blingy jeans. Beautiful Bosal bridles and things like that, and met a lot of really interesting new vendors, and you'll be hearing about some of them coming up in the next few months.
Oh, so terrific.
We did that for a day, and then we went off and visited Pikes Peak, and we went to the Smoky Mountain National Park. No, not the Smoky Mountain. No. Which mountain range is that out there?
In South Dakota?
No, in Colorado. Rocky Mountain, thank you.
Rocky Mountain
National Park, and saw all kinds of amazing views, amazing rocks, amazing wildlife. Did that for a few days. Did another train tour through the Royal Gorge. Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And then we went to the Colorado Horse Park and watched cross country there and met up with some of our hosts as well as some of our listeners. That was great fun watching cross country. And my personal favorite part of the whole trip is I got to go trail riding in the mountains with one of our listeners by the name of Betty. And she let me ride her husband's horse, Horace. Horace the horse. I got to ride him.
I never thought of that name for a horse.
He was awesome. And Horace was awesome. And she rode along on her big warm blood mare, Katie. And we had a fantastic ride up the side of the mountain and back down again. And that was really cool. So that was our trip to Denver.
Ah, that was a microwave version.
It was a whirlwind tour.
Was the ride uneventful? Nobody jumped out of the bushes like a bear or anything?
No, the trail ride up through the mountains was uneventful. Mm-hmm. Now, as we went up through the mountains, because in the mountains there, they're the real deal. You're either going up or down, or you're on a switchback in between.
Right.
There were several places where we had to go across raging streams coming down the side of the mountains. And they have little bridges across them, which is lovely. Now, some of them we walked down through the stream, but a lot of times the bridge was much too high. You couldn't get down through the stream. And I'm a chicken. I'm afraid of heights. And
really?
I was a chicken. So I dismounted Horace and we walked across the bridges. But Betty, she's an old hand. She just strolled right across him. But I'm a little bit of a wimp when it comes to height. No, I'm a major wimp when it comes to heights. And I dismounted and strolled across those. But actually, on the trail ride, we didn't see any significant wildlife, some squirrels and chipmunks and the like, but it was just a lot of gorgeous pine trees and aspen trees. And you'd come to a switchback and you could look across the valley and see for 50 miles.
It was pretty stunning. Only in Colorado. So gorgeous. Or any in that Northwest really is just
pretty
so
stunning.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Lucky girl.
Yeah, it was
a whirlwind trip.
We had a great time and I got to ride a horse. Yay!
And you got to ride a horse on your vacation. How you spent your summer/fall vacation. That's fun.
Got to ride a horse. Yeah.
Fun.
It was
good awesome. Way to do it. I just got back from the beach.
Yes. Tell me about your beach ride.
We did our annual beach pack ride. Yeah. We stay at, they have pipe corrals and they stay at this cute little quaint restaurant / hotel there. And some people, you have to go on Facebook and see our beautiful photos. Other gals were bravely, you know, swinging their iPhones around as we're doing the nosebleed trail and the beach and everything. But it was just gorgeous. I mean, that is just, every girl should do that. They should do that. It's just, you know, it's a California thing, but honestly, you could do it above a lake, you know, where you go up in the mountains and then you come down to the water, and so good for horses. And I'm kind of wimpy about getting off, Jen. I'm the opposite. I don't understand the get off when your height thing, because I think the horses are better than me. I'm like, they got four legs, I got two, you know? So they're a little more stable than me.
See, I'm afraid of heights. And the reason I'm afraid of heights is because I have vertigo.
Oh, okay. So the higher you go, the worse it is.
Yes. So when I look down at things, it makes the whole world swirl.
Ew.
Not good.
I wouldn't like that.
Not good at all. Now, with Beaker, I was pretty good about it because I could basically close my eyes and let him walk across stuff.
Oh, good.
I knew him pretty well. I didn't know Horace that well, and I'm just not a trusting soul.
Yeah, you're not
going
to close your eyes.
I'm not a trusting soul. And Betty laughed at me. But I looked at it this way. We were out for just about 4 hours, and it gave me the opportunity to dismount and get the circulation back into my feet.
There you go. You needed your knees to be a little land savvy again. Yeah. Yes. I do get sea legs up there sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your pictures on your Facebook page this very moment.
Oh, good.
Of your beautiful ride. Oh, look at you. You're so happy. Now, who are you riding?
Exactly. Permanent smile on all our faces.
Who are you riding on the
trip? Oh, I was riding Baron. You'll know Baron because that's who Glenn rode last year.
Yes, you rode the same horse Glenn got to ride. Oh, handsome Baron.
He's handsome. Didn't take a step wrong. He is just so solid. He is the coolest horse. I think he may have another home. I think Chris Layfield is going to be his forever home. Lucky girl. She is just enamored. You know, he's just so cute. He was making doe eyes at her. She was doe eyeing him.
Love affair.
But it's cool because I know her and I get to see him all the time. So I'm really happy about that.
That's cool. So now the entire ride just goes right along the coast, doesn't it?
You know, it goes along the coast. One day we went down to Spooner's Cove, which is so cute. It's like, you know, really old church and old cypress trees. It's just beautiful. And there was a hurricane. I don't know if you heard about it, but Baja had this hurricane off the coast. And so the oceans were all stirred up and they were crashing on the rocks. And the waves were like in really high tide. And the horses were so brave. They're like, I don't know, but it's pretty cool. They were really good about it. You know, like they're curious, but they're like not that curious. But Inferno, one of our favorite Willing Partners horses who belongs to Beth Hebner now, a friend of ours, he tiptoed all the way into the water and he was happy with it. And so we had a great time. But there's also Nosebleed and the Ridgeline. And so we go up these horse steps. You know how they make them with the railroad ties? And they're wider steps that are in and deeper steps than we would do as people. Mm-hmm. And they're perfect for horses. So this Montana de Oro is the beach ride that we go on. We do a few days, you know, cause you can take different treks. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fabulous time for, and then you go back and you go like, okay, is it going to be margaritas? Is it going to be wine? What are we going to do today? And so you start talking about that at the last quarter of a mile home, you know, and the horses are just like one foot in front of the other. Like, you made me walk in deep sand. I'm really tired.
The tired that a horse has after a long trail ride like that is unique because he's tired and mentally relaxed.
Yes. So
unlike,
relaxed.
You know, the end of a cross country course. He's tired physically, but mentally he's like, all a buzz, right? But after you've been out trail riding for 4 or 5 or 8 hours, the horse is like, I'm good, nap time.
Yeah, exactly. And they know their way home, you know, like you can just drop the reins and they're
just
there.
Just drop the reins.
It's so cute. Yeah, and what I love about the beach too is they have all these different smells. It's like sensory overload for the horse. It's like sage, and then there's deer over here, and there's fish over there, and there's, you know, crazy stuff on these rides that are so good for horses. That just, you know, good for the inside of us apparently too, but you know,
see,
really
it's good. It's good for the inside of your horse too.
Yeah, that's true.
Nigel is going to be going on his, knock on wood, His very first solo trail ride this weekend.
Oh, good for you.
As we record, it'll be the first time I take him out away from home to go trail riding with some of my buddies on one of the trailheads here locally in Florida. So, good.
We'll have to talk about that.
Hopefully it'll go well.
Yeah. If it goes well. We'll be talking about that one. Yeah.
If it doesn't go well, maybe it'll be a more interesting story. I don't know.
Well, that's true. That's true. If I ask a question, you have to answer it. Okay. Well, let's get listening to Kim McCarthy and Todd Bergen. I just think this is a wonderful couple. I've got Kim McCarthy up first, and then we've got Todd Bergen. And we recorded these before you went on your vacation, so I hope you remember them. But they're amazing in two different worlds, too. So you guys, stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Mark Hebner, president of Index Fund Advisors and proud owner of Monty Roberts Willing Partners graduate, He's a Sugar Bear. You know, investment portfolios are a lot like horses. You need to find one that best suits you, your temperament, and your stage of life. Some people might like an energetic horse and an aggressive investment portfolio, while others are more comfortable with a gentle ride and a more conservative investment portfolio. The trick is to find the one that's right for you. That's what Index Fund Advisors is all about, matching people with portfolios. Risk-appropriate, low-cost, and globally diversified investment portfolios. You can find the right portfolio for you by taking the Risk Capacity Survey at ifa.com. That's IFA as an Index Fund Advisors. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-643-3133. That's 888-643-3133.
Kim McCarthy is a licensed trainer and a lifelong horsewoman. Kim grew up in a family who made their living in the horse industry, and her father was a trainer and a farrier in Northern California. Kim didn't need much encouragement to become a licensed trainer. She wears many hats now, managing the admission for several barns, including Bob Baffert, for 18 years now. Well, welcome, Kim McCarthy. We're lucky to catch up with you. I understand you're driving on your way to Del Mar as we speak.
Yes, I am. It's a beautiful drive.
Slow or fast?
I think we're getting about 40 right this second, but I don't think it'll be here for long.
Yeah, that's right. So if we hear some screeching in the background, we know what Kim's up to. She is on a beautiful stretch in Southern California, though, and we're lucky to catch up with you, Kim. So what you're heading to Del Mar. This is a place after my heart. As a kid growing up, I always loved Del Mar. We would go down there for the sale every year, and I think that's probably your life now, right? Do you head down to that sale every year?
I do. I'm heading there right now. I've got 5 in this next upcoming sale.
Good job. And what is that this weekend then, right?
That is on Tuesday.
Yeah. So we're recording this in August, and this will be coming out a little bit later. So everybody wish Kim a really good sale. Give you lots of good positive.
Well, thank you. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a beautiful Del Mar racetrack. We were able to meet you there a few weeks ago. I got to see Trevor Denman, who is going to continue to call the races down there, too. And lovely man. And thank you and Sean for getting us up there. That was a lot of fun. And you work at some of the most beautiful places on earth. The Santa Anita racetrack, I think, was the last place I saw you before Del Mar. And what a privilege, Sean. What a life.
No, it's been great. We've been down here for now, I think, a little over 20 years, and went from the Bay Area, which, to be honest, they have some great views up there. We're visiting the announcers up there as well. So there's some great, great tracks here in California.
Really beautiful. And we're working to keep them living and thriving here, too. And, you know, one thing I wanted to – I told Mom that we would be doing this interview with you, and she said, oh, ask them how they met Dad and I. So that's the first question I had to ask is, how did you meet Monty and Pat Roberts?
Well, actually, I mean, Sean had worked there for so many years, and when Sean and I met, and then we went down to the farm, and that's how I met Monty and Pat, was through Sean. So that's right. I was a little later, a latecomer, I guess, to the program.
Well, but I mean, Sean McCarthy, everybody knows now, we've had him on here too. It was the rider for Dad when he went to meet the Queen in 1989 and didn't even know if the round pin with open sides, the mesh wire, would even work because he'd always use solid-sided round pins. And Sean is the brave soul that got up on the first
horse. It, absolutely.
Exactly. Yes. A little guy, a little rider that he was working for Dad. So mom reminded
me. That was the same year we met.
You met there? Is that what you said?
Sean and I met in 1989.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow, that was a good year for him, wasn't it?
It was a good year. It was a good year.
For him. And you were married at the farm.
We were married at the farm in 1994. We just celebrated our 22nd anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
What a beautiful place for a reception.
Oh, I am so glad. Yeah, there have been some pretty special weddings here at the farm. My husband and I had our reception here too, and it's just like it's a family almost tradition that everybody has their reception here. It's a beautiful place, and we're honored that you're on our list with that too. Did you go to work with Sean right after that then when he went to the track?
Well, when Sean and I met, I was training horses.
You were.
And we were. I was. And I just said, you know, I'm not sure I really want to work this hard. That's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So I thought, well, maybe I should look into other avenues and maybe go into doing a little bookkeeping, et cetera, et cetera. So then I went to work for Mr. Baffert, and that was 18 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that you had worked for Baffert for that long. Congratulations. That is a long time. Wow. So. Behind every successful trainer is Kim McCarthy, apparently. Look at that.
That's it. I love it. That's a good accolade here for me, yes.
Well, how did you get into training horses originally then? Because you came before all these men.
Well, my father was a horseshoer and then went to training horses and then went back to shoeing. And I was going to school trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I became a big kid. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going out with a young man. He said, well, why don't you train horses? And I said, wow, yeah, that's a good idea. So I left school and went to the racetrack and started training horses.
What track were you at first?
I was at Golden Gate Field.
Okay. And how do you just march onto the racetrack at Golden Gate Fields and say, I'm training horses now?
Well, like I said, my father had trained before, so I kind of had a little bit of an in, and I knew a few of the people there, and so you just kind of say, call up, say, I need some stalls, and there you get in some stalls, and here we were.
That's amazing, girl.
That's not good English.
But it was the 90s, so I guess women were starting to get into that industry. We've had one guest on here, Ada Gates, who was the first woman licensed farrier on the United States racetracks. Yeah, but you must have been in some rare air there, being a licensed woman trainer on the track, no?
Yeah, there were a few before me. We got like Shelley Riley. She trained a Kentucky Derby runner. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what year that was, but that was pretty early on. Like, I want to say maybe, I'm not exactly sure, early 80s, mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a few others up there while I was there.
Well, tell us about the first horse that was like your first win. Who was the big breakthrough for you after you became a trainer?
Well, my big claim to fame was a horse called Snap Your Fingers.
Oh, I like that.
She belonged to one of my girlfriend's father. And the trainer that had her originally actually was training quarter horses. And he was moving and going to Rio Doso with a bunch of quarter horses. And she said, go pick her up. So I did. And she went on to win a few races for me. And then I was hooked.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, that early success will blow it for you right there.
That's it.
Well, that's fun. So your record must have been in good standing when you married Sean. So how did you guys, I mean, is it one of those things where you guys had to make a decision, we're not going to be married doing this together, I got to work with another guy instead? Or how did that work out?
No, mainly it was just, I was like, I don't really want to work every single day of my life. And not that I don't do that now, but it's just different. You don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every single day. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went and said, well, maybe I'll go into the office work and did that sort of thing.
I see.
And I, you know, when he'd go out of town, I'd go to the barn and make sure everything was going smooth and try to just keep the wheel moving.
Yeah, because you have the experience. Yeah, that is a nice little position to have you helping with, too. So what do you do exactly for Bob now? I was calling you Money Penny to Mom, but I know you do everything.
Mainly I just do the books. I mean, I do the billing and the payroll and some of the big nominations and things like that.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Pretty much, I would say what nobody else wants to do is what I do.
Oh, shush. But you get them prepped. You get them prepped to load out and get them to the racetracks where they're supposed to be, make sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be. Is that?
We have assistants and we have foremen. So I'm just kind of like hand some paperwork to them. They make sure the horse gets on the van and all that kind of stuff. So It's a very much a team effort.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the Olympics that we just had? They closed up a few weeks ago or a week ago.
Unfortunately, I didn't see very much of it. I don't know if I just missed the timing for all the equine Olympics,
but I was
excited because one of my girlfriends sold one of those horses that was an equine Olympian.
Ooh.
He was a former racehorse and was on the U.S. team.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to look that up now because I didn't get to, I seem to be watching the Olympics at the wrong time too. So I didn't get to see anything unless it was post and, recorded and YouTubed or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's pretty exciting. Do you remember any names or anything that I do not. Okay. That's all right. I'll look it up. I got Google as my assistant, you know. I don't have a Kim McCarthy, but I have a Google.
that's probably a little more knowledgeable.
Well, maybe. I hope so. So I was reading an article, though, about the dressage, and they were talking about the grooms that travel with the dressage horses. And it's so interesting. I bet it's a little similar in the thoroughbred industry, too, with so much travel. But they were saying that that the grooms, when they go back to the airplane, they every, I don't know, so many minutes, 20 minutes or something, they can go back, but they have to go as a group, all the grooms, to check on their horses because they're afraid somebody might slip one of the other horses something or, there's this whole security issue, I guess, or something. Is that true with the racehorses too?
You know what? I don't know that. I've actually never flown with the horses. Sean has flown with the horses, but I don't ever remember that being of any issue
past. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope not.
It's just those dressage people, right? It's nothing tricks.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I wish we could go to the Olympics sometime. I'm hoping we're going to be able to do that. You and I should try to do that and go see what the equine's
all. That sounds like a good plan.
Right? I think that the equestrians need more support. You know, it's a little bit grandmothers and parents out there, and it's hard to get.
They need some surrogate grandparents and parents.
That's right. I'm stepping up. I'm stepping up to the plate.
Me too.
Well, thanks again. I'm so happy to have you on here. And plus, I've already had your better half. So, it was time anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate women in the industry finding ways to keep horses in their lives and to advocate for horses and to do a good job. And you are near the top of the list that you are.
Well, thank you. I think your mother is probably the best one to keep us going on that note.
Yeah, she's good.
The fact that she's still riding and showing and winning, and I want to be right there with her.
Isn't she amazing? I know. Let's do this. We were just talking to Al Dunning, too, who is, that was the question we put to him is, what do we do with this women over 50 that are, want to do this? He said, bring it. He said, it's never been more open, the training and the tips and the whole thing. It's everywhere out there. And just get a good coach and do it. So, Mom's my inspiration, too. Yeah. So we got to keep
up
with her.
Absolutely. That's right. That's not an easy task.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. All right. Well, thanks, Kim. Thanks for taking a little time out of your awful drive there. And good luck in the sale this weekend.
Thanks, Debbie. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
We all hear about omega-3 and how important it is for your horse's nutrition. But why? Well, simply put, horses were created to get all of their nutrition from live natural grasses. Omega-3 is an essential fat found in many types of live grasses, and it's critical to the horse's health. If they were living on live grasses 24/7, they would be receiving enough omega-3. But in today's world, most horses are fed commercial feed and forage as their primary nutrition, and most of these are lacking in omega-3. That's where Omega Fields comes in. All of Omega Fields' flax-based products provide a balanced, essential profile of omega-3, 6, 9, and may be helpful in alleviating problems related to skin, coat, hoof, joint, and sand colic. One of Omega Fields' terrific products is Omega Horse Shine. Omega Horse Shine is an omega-3 stabilized ground flaxseed supplement for horses to help maintain a shiny, healthy coat, strong, solid hooves, and top performance for horses in all life stages. Omega Fields provides the best human-grade, non-GMO ground flax that can help horses with dry, scaly, itchy skin, joint pain and inflammation, poor hoof growth, allergies, and more. Don't just listen to Debbie and I. Alexandra, a customer of Omega Field, says any horse I ever own, I will feed them Omega Horse Shine and I will recommend it to anyone. You can get your Omega Horse Shine today at OmegaFields.com, or just for our listeners, get 15% off using the coupon code Monty2015. All one word, it's Monty2015 for 15% off your next order at OmegaFields.com. That's OmegaFields.com.
Todd Bergen, who is now 42, he's a young man and he lives in Eagle Point, Oregon, and he's recognized as one of the industry's most talented, most versatile horsemen out there. He has earned over $3 million in his career to date, and he competes on multiple horses in the American Quarter Horse Association World Shows and the National Reining Horse Show Association Futurities. He's an iconic fixture there. He's been there for a long time, being at the top, and being in the finals is now almost expected for this guy. And best of all, he has quiet, happy horses when he competes. Well, welcome, Todd Bergen. Thank you so much for being on Horsemanship Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
I couldn't have asked for a better representative right now in this point in time in August 2016 of the Western reining world, in my opinion. And you know what? I'm not the only one that has that opinion out there. You must be very proud of some of these horses you're working with.
Yeah. You know, and that's a big part of our business is you gotta have the horsepower underneath you, and so that's a big part of this game.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's showing. Some Kind of Murata was amazing. Saw some scores that, you know, you have to take a double take at. And it must have been some kind of fun in the Derby that you did real well in lately.
Yeah. It was pretty satisfying. That's been a good horse. And, you know, I bought her in her three-year-old year and just really haven't gotten anything done with her. And so it was finally... It was good to finally get it all put together because I knew she had it in her, and I just have not been able to get it all put together. And that's another big part of the cow horse deal is you know, you got three events, and so it's a lot of work, and it's hard to get all three of them put together at the right time.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I mean, a lot of we're all fascinated by the Olympics right now, you know, that's been going on. And And it's almost, you must get a little jealous when you see some event where all you have to do is one thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've shown horses all my life and, you know, I do other events also. And, but yeah, this is definitely the most challenging the cow horse is with three events and trying to get it put together. And anybody who hasn't done it, I don't think they can... Yeah. Really grasp how hard that is, you know, because it is, you know, there's a lot of guys that train horses and, you know, they know it's very hard to be specialized in one, but then to try and do three and get, you know, three events put together that day in the finals, it's tough.
Yeah. But you have a little record going of doing it now too, that you're no fluke at this point, Todd Bergen. Yeah. I have to describe for the listeners that they got to go to your Facebook page or go on YouTube and just see a few of the videos that, they are jaw dropping. I think mostly because what I loved about it is I watch a very relaxed horse and a very relaxed rider walk into that arena. I see a very extreme sport happening underneath you, and then everything just shuts down, and I see a very relaxed rider and a very relaxed horse walk out of the arena. That's pride-making. That is just pride-making.
Yeah. Well, we work hard to try and make it look easy. So
yeah, exactly. So I have read somewhere where that you like the cow work the most of the three events. Why is that?
Well, I really enjoy the whole training process of the cows. You know, really getting those horses to be smart and you know, them horses when they get good on a cow, they enjoy it, you know, and they want to do it. And that's kind of fun, you know, and when you work a cow, it's never the same thing twice. You know, I mean, it's different every time, you know, you step to a cow. And so that keeps it interesting. Whereas some of the other stuff, it can get a little monotonous to me. It's just the same thing over and over again. Obviously each horse is different, but you know, but when you work a cow, there's just that, you know, there's that variety and there's that challenge to be able to handle any situation. So I think that's why I enjoy it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That you've got different personalities in the horse and different personalities in those cattle too.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere where I think it was your dad who said that when you're like 13, 14, that he walked into the room late at night and you were still reading, and you were reading possibly an L. Dunning book. And he said something about that each horse has its own character, and you sort of affirmed that too. Is that interesting to you to know that horses are individuals?
Yeah, you know, and even early on, I don't know why, but I kind of recognize that you know, every horse has got its own personality and its own temperament and you know, just learning how to understand that and how to read that and how to deal with it. You know, I think that is such a major part of horse training and you know, it takes a while to really figure that out, that you got to train each horse as an individual. You know, we want to put our foundation on them and all that, but how you get there can be a little different with each horse. And, you know, I just find that very, very interesting. And I think that's what's kept me going, you know, this long and wanting to do it. But I've always thought of it that way, is, you know, you really need to treat each horse as an individual. You know, we're trying to get the same thing done on all of them, but how you get there sometimes is a different path for each one.
Right. Yeah. You put out a great DVD, body control DVD, and some of the things that you say on there are just amazing. I mean, I like how you say that it's like teach a man to fish, right? It's the statement of teach a horse what you're asking him to do to partner with him rather than just make mm-hmm. him do it on the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a lot of guys out there that really, you know, they train horses and they can be successful, but I feel like they're kind of cookie cutter and they kind of just make each horse fit their mold and just kind of make them do it. And I really think that to really train a horse correctly is, you know, you need to train them to do it, not, you know, just despite of you, you know, making them do it. Because like any, my horses, I want anybody to be able to get on them and go, you know, put them through the paces and they'll do it for them, you know? So I really think that there's a difference in that. I really try and train my horses to do things rather than just, you know, forcing them to do it.
Yeah. Well, I can see that in the videos and when we've watched you live too, that you literally just sit on your pockets and barely even audible, whoa. And that horse is a willing partner in that 30-foot, you know, railroad track that you put down under the horse. It's just amazing to watch. And you can see there's the reins are loose, the horse is relaxed, ears forward. You, the only thing I ever see that's kind of an anomaly is you straightening your hat at the end of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to lose your hat out
there. Don't lose your hat. That's
right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can assure you, I would imagine that's not a nervous twitch that you have. That's just keeping your hat.
No, that's just me sweating a lot because I don't want anybody to see me sweating. So.
Well, it's really fun because I was, you know, when I was studying everything you've been doing and just trying to track on. I mean, I love your rollbacks on the fence. People have got to see it. It's just, I mean, especially with this Some Kind of Murata, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing rollbacks.
Yeah, but, she's such a strong, powerful horse. She can really do it, you know, how we all dream about them doing it. Yeah. She's got that ability. They don't all have that, but, yeah, when you got one that can stop and is as powerful as she is and has as much try as she does, you know, you can, they'll do it like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's you look like you're having fun up there when she's doing that. I know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to stay on.
Yeah, this came up recently, you know, watching all these different sports, and it's interesting how the work has changed a little bit on leads and things that, like in tennis, you know, you used to load up on the inside leg and now you load up on the outside leg so you can push back and you get a lot of shift. Do you know, I know you've even barrel raced. I think you've done everything on the horse's back. But do you notice some techniques changing just in lead changes, anything over the last?
You know, I don't know so much that, I guess some technique could change, but I think what we're seeing now is much better horse trainers, much better horse flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, the horses are just that we're seeing nowadays are capable of doing it how we've all been dreaming about having them all do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the change that you're seeing is, you know, I think they're definitely, the styles are changing a little bit, and that's just the sport progressing. And we've all been kind of talking about that, how much the cow horse has progressed in the last few years and how much better everything has gotten. You know, all three events are getting good. I mean, you watch the herd work nowadays, and I mean, there used to be one or two horses in there that really looked like they could cut. And now, I mean, pretty much, you know, if you're going to be in the top end of it, there's a lot of them that really look like they can cut. And same thing in the range work and same thing in the fence work. There's just so many more horses and riders that are capable and that are, you know, they're getting them trained, and, you know, just everything is stepping up, everything's progressing. So I don't know if there's a difference in the way we're doing things, maybe a little bit, but I think we're just now getting the horses and people are understanding the training of it and all that. And, mm-hmm. and so you're just seeing more and more, you know, horses being able to really do it right, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably a combination of all kinds of things, I guess. But like, Monty Roberts, my dad growing up, he just says it's just light years ahead of where we were, you know, 50 years ago. Spins,
oh, yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And like I say, I think, you know, I think there's a couple of things that contribute to that. One, you know, like I say, I think we're riding much better horses nowadays than we were in the past. And two, there's so much information out there available to young trainers these days. And, you know, there's so many videos and there's clinics and there's, you know, radio talk shows. There's all of this out there now. And I think so as a young trainer coming up, you have so much information readily available to you. Going and riding with other trainers is much more common now than it ever used to be. You know, guys going and riding, you know, I still do it. I still go ride with my peers, and I have guys come ride with me all the time. And so when you have all that available to you, just everybody's knowledge has just grown and gotten, you know, their horse IQ has just gotten so high, and we've got the better horses to ride. So, you know, it's just progressing. You've just got so many more guys who are capable and have the ability and the knowledge to train a horse, you know, the right way. And, you know, you give them a good horse and there you go. So I think that's where it's really progressed the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's probably some word we should put in here for the judges and the direction they've taken the industry as well. They, you know, the National Reined Cow Horse Association probably should be recognized for taking it in a good direction too, because you know there are
Yeah, for sure, and we've been working hard at that as trying to. You know, and we talk about that a lot where we feel like everybody's progressed a lot. And so we've really been working hard to make sure the judging is coming right along with it, you know, and, you know, there's a, yeah, exactly. So, I know I've been very involved in that in the past few years and, was on the judges committees there for a while and actually the head of the judges committee there for a while. And, now being president, obviously I'm not on that committee, but I, you know, I still work closely with, you know, who I have as the chair of my committees and stuff like that. And I know they've really been putting in the time and effort to make sure that the judging is progressing along with the competition.
Yeah, I can see it. I think the harmony between the rider and the horse seems to be there, and I know that that's something they look for in other disciplines. Like I heard it mentioned in the Olympics, actually in London last time. That was sort of a breakthrough moment when the judge said that the first and second horse, gold and silver, were nearly the same, except for there's a little bit more harmony, and they gave it to the gold, which is a pretty good sign for dressage too.
Yeah. You know, and we always say it. When it's done right, it looks effortless. You know, it looks like neither the horse or the rider is really trying. But to me, that's when it's being really done right. You know, when you watch it and you're just like, well, this looks so easy, you know. But to me, that's when things are going the right way, because, you know, if it's done right, it should look effortless, you know. Okay. And, I think sometimes that gets overlooked a little bit, because they're like, well, that was too easy. There wasn't enough degree of difficulty. Well, sometimes, you know, people are creating their own degree of difficulty. And when it's really done right, it looks easy, you know? So,
yeah, we all smile at that one, I think, you know, and anything we've ever done. But so you have an adorable wife and you've got a couple of kids. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about him. You've got little Haley, who, how old is Haley now?
Hallie. She'll be 10 here at the end of the month. And my son Gavin, he'll be 13 in December.
Good grief. Anybody riding?
Yeah. Yeah, Hallie's starting to ride here lately. My boy still doesn't like to really ride much. He'll ride every once in a while, but it's not his thing. But Hallie, she's starting to ride some here lately and been asking to go ride and wanting to go ride and stuff. So yeah, that's exciting.
That is. I want to hear that there's going to be, you know, Bergen knockoffs out there, because we need more like you. Gavin, you know, even if he's riding things that you put gasoline in, that's a good start. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Well, you, sir, have been on the cover of how many Quarter Horse Newses now?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know either, yeah.
No.
Well, it's pretty impressive what you're doing out there, and we definitely want to hold you up on Horsemanship Radio and the Horse Radio Network, too, for being a great example of the Western work done properly with the horse that is, you know, roots in the 1800s, doing what horses do best, which is rounding up cattle and working them on a ranch. And sounds like that's all in your roots anyway, Todd, and I'm glad you're carrying on the traditions.
Well, I'm happy to do it. It's a lot of work, but I sure enjoy it.
Yeah, well, at least you're really successful at it for all that work. There you go.
Yeah, that makes it a little easier. Yeah.
It does help, and we'd love to have you on again, too, after some more big scores. We want to hear about them. Can we
all right. Well, hopefully I can. Yeah, sure. Yeah, hopefully I can put up some more good scores and good accomplishments. So yeah, you can have me back on.
Thank you very much. I see a lot of owners out there of those horses you're riding that are all smiles. So I'm sure we will.
Oh, good.
All right. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay. No problem.
Bye.
Whisper the language of the herd. Listen, you don't have to say a word.
It's time for Jamie Jennings to fetch an email from Monty Roberts' inbox and share a morsel of Monty's wisdom in a little segment we like to call Ask Monty.
Leave this world a better place than mine. The magic in the language of the herd.
Dear Monty, how long do you train your reining horses before showing in competition? Monty's answer. Most of the world-class trainers I have known would answer this question in a fairly similar fashion to how I will answer it. It is very difficult to expect a horse to execute the procedures necessary for competition with less than one full year of training. Even at that level, the reining horse should still be considered a baby. It is my opinion that after 1 year's training, any competition should be limited to a very few competitive events. A sustained schedule of competitions after just 1 year's training will generally result in a resentful horse. I consider 2 to 3 years to be optimum in maximizing the performance of the reining horse. Even after 3 years, the reined horse is apt to continue to improve if trained with good horsemanship. Most reined horses reach their full potential at the age of 8 to 9 years.
For more of these insights into good horsemanship, go to www.montyroberts.com and click on the orange banner that says Get Free Horse Tips.
Hi. I'm Monty Roberts, and I'm dedicated to training horses without pain. You can learn to do it too on my Equus Online University. Western, English, the beginner, or the advanced rider, it doesn't matter. You can connect with other students online too on our forum, and there's a new lesson every week. It's a lifetime of learning for you on my Equus Online University at montyroberts.com.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Where in the world is Monty Roberts?
Monty is looking forward to meeting some new friends, two-legged and four-legged. In October, he's headed to the UK, his fall tour, and he will be October 15, 21, 26, and 29 in various areas. He'll be all over England. And then November 3rd, he jumps over to, there's an East Yorkshire building that's just a fabulous building. So I hope everybody can go see that one. It's a really nice area. Anybody who knows UK, you know where he is. Go on the website. But November 5th, then he'll be at Your Horse Live. And Your Horse Live is a big trade show, horse show. It's a huge event. And they're having a special ticketed event for just for him. So yeah, just going to have to get on there. And if you're from the UK or anywhere near it, you can take a ferry from Ireland. Okay. All you people have been saying, when is he coming to Ireland? Take the ferry. You're coming to him this time. And to Sweden, Holland, all those places, France. So really easy to get there.
All righty. And if you couldn't remember all of that, because it's a bunch, you can find it at montyroberts.com. Or you can give the folks at Monty Roberts U a call. It's 805-688-6288. And someone knowledgeable and friendly will answer your questions. And for details about today's show, go to horsemanshipradio.com. And there you can find links, photos, and more information about today's guests. And we'd love your feedback. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Monty Roberts and Monty Roberts tweets. That's right. He's a tweeter. You can follow him at Monty_Roberts. For those of you who like your information in short 150-character bursts, and you can get the app to get all of the Horse Radio Network shows with you and carry them around everywhere on your iTunes or on your iPhone or Android. Just go to your app store and search for Horse Radio Network, or you can subscribe via iTunes and be a little bit old-fashioned.
Well, yeah, I think that's what I did. Sorry. Yeah. That's true. That's the best way to do it, though. I throw that little phone in the car and there it sits by me and I listen through all the shows. And many thanks to our sponsors. That's IFA.com, Omega Fields, and MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Be sure to visit the other great shows, too, that I visit on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. And until next time, have many happy horse hours like Jen and I.